Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, Angela Cerbi from the Lovers Festival in Torino. Very happy to be here with the cast of the opening night film Lovers. Him from the side, Matt Carter, the director, Alexander King, and Ivan Comiso, two of the leading actors. Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
So I start with a guy here, and then I'll come to you later. Your film had a huge reception yesterday night, and we were talking afterwards that the film is has a very general and universal themes that are told through the story of this gay couple. It's a lot about the fantastic inclusive world of rugby. How did you manage to put the love story and the fictional part that you wrote together with the actual world of rugby?
Well, I think it's very much a case of using the rugby as the stage at which to tell the story, and there's lots of nice unique little cultural moments and things that happen within the world of rugby that led to allowing the love story to sort of flourish. But I think you need a love story to kind of help propel the story through. You can't just have a sports film. You've got to have something that everyone can relate to. And I think it highlights the love story itself and the dynamics of the love story highlight the uniqueness of that environment of the rugby, where you spend so much time with the same people. And, how do you hide this affair in an environment where it's almost impossible to keep secrets?
And you see that it was impossible. Yes, it was actually impossible.
Unsuccessful, yeah. But, so I think that's trying to marry the sort of the love story and the rugby together, I think, keeps that balance of making it sort of interesting and universally accepted, sort of appealing, I think.
Yeah, actually, I don't know a thing about rugby, but I couldn't care about that because it was entertaining enough. The rugby part, it was very well shot, but it was just creating the setting for what was going to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a line in the film towards the end where someone says, "Do you actually understand all of these rules?" And she sort of says, "No." And it sort of says,
nobody does.
I mean, I'm actually a rugby referee, and it's incredibly complicated. Even I don't sort of fully, the laws constantly change. And I think that's kind of the point. It's that you don't need to understand it. You just understand that it's something these characters are passionate for, and that it's this sort of world that we're sort of, we're spending some time in. But it's not important to understand all the specifics of the actual sport itself. Yeah. It's more the culture and these people that we're interested in.
Yeah, exactly. The culture and the philosophy on the back of the sport itself. Listen, guys, you played... it was physically demanding, I think. And how did you physically prepare with them before the shooting? There was some boot camp thing, right?
Yeah, correct. So, many of us kind of like to stay in shape anyway. So, and part of the reason perhaps that we were cast was partly to do with our physicality beforehand. rugby players, come in all shapes and sizes. Like Matt said, you need
normally big shapes and sizes.
Well, not some, not so much. And Matt said that's actually one of the beautiful things about rugby is that actually it's a game for all body shapes. In terms of preparation for the rugby itself, Matt set up for us training sessions with a qualified coach, and that was great. Not only to sort of get our hands, some of us hadn't. I hadn't played for 15 years, so it was great for everyone to get their hands on the ball. It was good for team bonding and getting us together, and of course, it got us familiar with what was going to happen when we filmed.
Yeah, it was great for me because I never really played rugby, probably once, just amongst friends. So to get
just
the basics,
for fun, not for
exactly, just for fun. So to get the basics, to get the just the feel of the few laws that everybody needs to be acquainted with, it was just Matt sorted that out for us.
Yeah.
And it was good to just get to grips with it, and also just to get to know rugby as a game, as a gentleman's game, which was
it's a gentleman's game.
It's also weird that you don't have rules, you have laws.
Well, I think because it's very interpretive, and a referee will have to interpret the situation in front of you. It's very, you get some messy situations where it's not clear necessarily what's happened. So that's why we call them laws, because they're interpretive, rather than rules, which is this is what's happening. Uh-huh. And it's that phrase football's a gentleman's sport played by hooligans, and rugby's a hooligan sport played by gentlemen. And it is because it's that kind of physical aggressive to sport, you have to have that culture of respect, otherwise it wouldn't work. Yeah. And that's what gives it that kind of that sense of, you know, you just tackle someone really hard and you help them back off the ground. It's that ultimate respect that makes
it. Rugby one of the most special sports in the world, and that respect is the fans respect each other, and they mix, you know, they mix the fans at rugby, and there's no trouble, and the players all respect the referee's decision. There's no, not like footballers are yelling, and they respect each other, their
and
teammates and the opposition.
And
it's all, you know, like I say, it's a hard hitting game and it's aggressive, but no, it's sportsmanship, and it's
And I think there's a theme that permeates the film itself as well. It's really reflected this gentleman idea and this being a team and friends.
A family.
It's something that is a theme throughout the film as well.
Yeah, one of the things that was very good to be displayed to the audience is that these guys, they play, of course they want to win, but they don't play to win. They play for the sake of playing and for the sake of being together, which is a very positive
they
message.
Play, I think, I look at it, they play for each other. I mean, obviously, you want to win because you've got to have this kind of common goal, but the whether you win or lose isn't the be-all and end-all. You know, if you lose, you still had a good time, you still had this amazing experience with, you know, your rugby family, and it's still that bonding experience. People don't turn up every week to play rugby to win games, necessarily. They turn up to spend time with those people and to fight together. It's the closest thing, I think, kind of to actually going to war, to kind of going to war in a way, because you do, you know you're going to get hurt, you know that there's going to be suffering, but it's worth it, and it's kind of, there's something very special in that, I think. There's something quite archetypal about that.
You win together, you lose together, but whatever happens is you had a great time doing it.
Even if the A team is not like this.
You are one
of the ugly guy from the ugly in the term.
So there is that difference in the film. Yeah. So Warren is an A-team player, and the A-team take it very, very seriously, and it's all about the winning and much less about the camaraderie and the friendships and the fun of it. It's play to win, and they want to beat the straight teams, you know, and compete. Whereas the B-team, like Matt said, they're kind of the opposite. They do want to win, but the most important part for them is that camaraderie, is the being together, is just being a part of it, being a part of the rugby family. And of course, they have it right. You know, the A's don't have it right. The B's do.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, what's the line that the coach says at the end to the?
You never understood why we used to win, but it was never about being the best. Because I think the whole concept of the A team in the film is kind of my sort of poking at sporting elitism, which can creep into every. Does happen to rugby as well, where I think people who do get on a winning streak start to love the win a little bit too much and forget why they're really there. And that happens to, you know, in lots of different sports, but I think in rugby it does happen. And I think, you know, it's that. It represents that moral tale of, like, be careful of loving the win too much, because that's not really why most people play this game.
Yeah, life's a team game. Rugby's a team game. And,
it's about the people.
Exactly. And actually, like, you could have the most skilled set of rugby players, but playing a team of, you know, average rugby players, but if they're not a unit and a team, they will get beaten by the less skilled and less talented people, because they work as a cohesive unit.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, it's not just for the sake of telling a story. It just happens, actually, that if you're not convinced of what you're doing, you don't get a result.
I think that's almost in anything in life, just rugby. Like, you've got to have the right reason for doing anything. You know. Yeah.
Listen, Matt, the love story is very sweet and very real. I mean, every one of us, everyone in the audience, being straight or gay, it doesn't matter, can relate to those situations. How did you create it? How did you put all the pieces together?
Well, make it so real.
I mean, I've lived life, you know. I've had relationships, you know. Obviously, there's lots of elements of autobiography in the film. You know, I've lived in a sort of the gay rugby, or the inclusive rugby, I should say, world for 8 years. You know, I've known people who've dated people, and I've dated people in my own clubs, you know, in other clubs. You know, there's the situations that can occur with it are things that I've seen, and then, you know, anyone who's been in a relationship or been in a bad relationship, you can draw from that and write from it. Yeah. And I think it was interesting. We had one of the comments last night in the Q&A. It's like, why don't they get together at the end? And I think it's kind of important that they kind of don't, because you can still be in love with someone, but they're not actually right for you.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
I think that's, and, you know, in the real world, when you're in love with someone, it doesn't always work out. And I wanted to be more a sort of authentic reflection. I mean, I tried to make the film authentic in the rugby sense, but also I think in the romantic sense, that, you know, people don't always make the right decision. The right decision isn't always clear. Yeah. And we're very sort of balanced about, we try not to be morally preachy about the film, because obviously these characters are essentially committing adultery on both their partners. They're not, definitely not saints. But at the same time, their feelings for each other are genuine. And it's like, how sometimes, you know, that is worth pursuing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they're... you kind of have to. It's relationships are complex, and I think the complexity is what makes it feel real. Yeah. And we try to sort of really write that in from the script stage. And
yeah, it's true that now people probably need more fairy tales, so they wanted to see the fairy tale.
Yeah, but the reality is that love can be the most spectacular, beautiful, wondrous thing in the world, but it can also be the most devastating and dangerous.
And it cannot work because it just can't.
Yeah, it can go both ways, but that's, you know, of course, it's always worth that risk because we're all looking for that, the wonderful part of it. And but yeah, of course, we have to take some hits, don't we?
I think it's nice that it doesn't end in the typical fairy tale ending. I think it makes it more real.
It's not an American film, it's a British film. It's just a compliment, it's not a...
And that's what it is, and you find out, and you mentioned this last night, you find out for, you know, Mark's character, it's, you know, he's found something more than just being in a relationship. He's found something that means something to him as a person, his rugby family. I think that's important to show.
Actually, you know, I was talking with friends this morning through WhatsApp, and they were the screening, and everybody loved Pinky, the character of Pinky. Everyone. And, you know, all the others are gorgeous. I'd better rather live with Pinky. Mm-hmm. Everybody says that.
I think all the characters, I mean, there's not a single character, I think, that is kind of good or bad, or that, you know, even the characters who are more nefarious, they're all redeemable, and you can see why they are the way they are, because it's all coming from a place of insecurity. They all are real complex people, but I think Pinky is probably the only character that I think is probably more universally pure than all of them. Like, he doesn't really do anything wrong, he's just a lovely guy, but you can see, again, that's come from a place of, you know, he probably was bullied in school. I mean, there's that scene in the cafe where he says, you know, which I think is, we very sort of delicately touch on why gay rugby is so important to people. That one scene is, like, in one scene is kind of where we say it. It's, you know, he had a terrible time in school, which is, I think, is universal for a lot of gay people, or people who are queer people, anyone, you know, on the spectrum, that they were put off from sport as a child, or, you know, in school, because they had a bad experience and never revisited it. Mm-hmm. And but actually sport has this amazing potential to kind of revolutionise people's lives if you revisit it as an adult. And for him, you know, he's that experience of, you know, he had a terrible time at school, even though he was actually quite adept at rugby and had a good time with it, but then he met these people and he's, you know, as an adult, and it's, and he found his you know, his rugby family. And I think, interestingly, when we wrote the script with my co-writer Adam Silver, I think I wasn't quite sure what the core theme was of the film in terms of, if I could summarise it in one word, but having gone through the process, I think if I actually use one word to describe the whole thing, it's belonging.
Yeah.
And I think all the characters find a sense of belonging in different ways, whether it's through the relationship or through the family unit. And there's a lot of, like, different themes of family throughout the film, you know, whether it's Mark with his own family, you know, his two different, you know, his relationship with his you know, estranged boyfriend, and the one he develops with Warren, but also the rugby family. They all give a different sense of belonging to characters. I think as gay men, especially in a modern world, or if you live in a sort of big city, we don't have that sense of community and belonging, and gay men find that sense of belonging in different ways, and rugby brings that in abundance, which is why it's such an interesting thing, and that sort of big cathartic ending where it's like just a love bomb of belonging, you know, and that's why it hits you hard, because that's something we miss, and that's something that rugby kind of provides in the context of the film.
Again, that's a universal theme.
Yeah,
again, we spoke of it last night. Yeah. Everybody on earth needs to belong to something, and they say whether that's your own family, your partner's family, your at work with your colleagues, a rugby club, any other type of club. It could be a, you know, drama club or a singing choir. Everybody.
You need to find your peers.
You find where you belong and the people that are like-minded to you, and we all want that. And I think, so everyone can relate to that feeling.
So one last question for you two guys: which was the most difficult scene to shoot? Why are you looking at him?
Well, I'd be interested to see if we're the same thing.
I think we. If we're the one that we all did together, then it would have been the rain scene.
Cardiff away game.
Because it was just really physically demanding. I mean, it's the coldest I've ever been in my life. to this day, it still is. And it was because we shot.
Because your director is cruel.
He's cruel.
He generally hated us.
We were filming in the... I mean, the British summer isn't very warm, so the British winter is freezing.
Yeah,
and we were filming, I think it was January, February, we filmed that in England. and then they pulled a rain machine over us. And of course, between it was about 4 degrees.
Yeah, the cherry on the cake was there. It was throughout filming. Obviously, it was January and February, so it was grey and rainy. And then the one day that we had some nice sun, and we were like, "Oh, guys, it's sunny. Mm. We're gonna have a good time." The match just starts pouring fake rain on us.
Yeah, and it was still so cold though. Even with the sun out, it was 4 degrees. And obviously, between takes, it was like, okay, you know, Matt would set for another shot, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. And we're just running, grabbing, they give us thermal blankets. And like I said on the Q&A last night, we really were like penguins. We were hugging each other and like literally grouping up. We've got our blankets on.
Well, that's a bonding experience.
And we get back to the set, and of course, we'd be all going like this, right? Okay, you know, before action's called, and then it's action. Totally fine, you know. We're not cold. We're tough rugby guys.
Yeah, really like, surprised. I don't know how you did it, but you made us look not cold.
Yeah, I don't know how you did it.
As
soon as you hit action, you've just basically got to stop.
You look really, really wet for sure. And
that was all.
You're right.
But you know what? It was the hardest. It was also the most fun.
Oh yeah.
And when you see the result of that particular sequence, totally, it's my favourite rugby sequence in the film. That game.
Yeah.
Someone said it was like reminiscent of the battle scenes from the 300.
Exactly. It's very epic. It's an epic moment.
Well, that's kind of. I wanted it to be like a sort of medieval battle. Like all that's missing is like the clash of the swords.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that would be what that is. You know, everything from the music, all of it. I wanted that to feel like going into battle.
Yeah.
Because we're not really seeing the set plays of rugby. It's more the emotion on their faces, and that they'll go to war together.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, when we were trying to plan the schedule and the shoot for that, I was saying, "Is there any way we can like heat the water?" And they were like, "There's just no way we can do that." And I was like, "Oh God, I'm so sorry." Can we try and stock up on towels then? And we made thermal blankets and stuff. I don't think it made much difference. It was really. I just said to everyone, you know, it'll be worth it in the end.
By the time the worst part is, we finished that day because we're actually at a rugby club. You know. The rugby pavilion. We go in the changing rooms. Of course, hot shower. There was no hot water.
Yeah,
and it was like, oh no. After that, like, we've got to have a cold shower to get the mud off. It was fine.
It was funny. So one of the we had lots of rugby extras who are friends of mine who've played at rugby clubs I played at. And that one match is actually, saying the film is slightly autobiographical, there's one match I remember playing that was like that in real life. Like, the conditions were horrific and it was freezing and there was no hot water at the end of it. And one of my friends was actually, went extra on that day, he's like, "I remember this game. I know what this is based on." And it was just like that, just as cold.
Yeah. And now the poor guy has to relieve it again.
Post-traumatic stress,
because of your trust. Well, guys, thank you very much. Oh. Thanks a lot for being with us. Thanks a lot for the film. The film is going to travel around the world, so everybody can see it sooner or later. Very soon.
Very soon. To be announced very soon.
I'm very glad about that. Thanks a lot to Matt Carter, to Alexander King, to Ivan Comiso for being with us.
And thank you to Lovers Film Festival for
thank you to
us
Lovers,
the tremendous
of course.
Honor of opening your festival.
Thanks. I'm Angela Cherby for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.